You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Home Run Derby Day. Let's do this thing. We're going to be breaking it down. Steve Merrill will join us. We'll take a look at Steve Merrill's Major League Baseball Power Poll. We'll take a look at the Major League Baseball futures at the unofficial halfway point of the Major League Baseball regular season. We'll talk some NASCAR with Steve. The Tony Cincotta will join us. We'll focus in on the Home Run Derby specifically. Take a look at the odds. We'll give you our picks, the head-to-head matchups for tonight's Home Run Derby. I understand the Marlins got back to Miami pretty late last night, although that doesn't really deter me. I think Stanton's the guy to beat today, despite the fact, obviously, Aaron Judge getting a lot of love. For the record, as far as the odds are concerned, Judge and Stanton are the co-favorites to win the Home Run Derby this evening. Stanton, of course, won last year. The National Football League regular season can't get here soon enough. Hell, I'll take preseason football at this point. But our team-by-team previews continue on the program today as we talk Big Blue, the New York Football Giants. We break down the NFC East. We started out with the Dallas Cowboys, which I'm pretty high on the Pokes coming into this year. And I thought I was going to be really high on the Giants, but now I'm not so sure. So we'll share my thoughts on the upcoming season for the New York Giants. Although it's Home Run Derby Day, it's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tomorrow. So in other words, it's the dog days of summer rapidly approaching. This is the week that you find out how much of a degenerate gambler you actually are. Are you going to start betting on like the WNBA? Maybe some MLS action? Maybe some Wimbledon? There's Wimbledon going on as we speak right now. Now, this is the week, man. Nothing's going on, all right? I remember the MLS used to have their All-Star Game, actually, like on the Wednesday after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. This year, the MLS All-Star Game is in August. And for the record, they're playing Real Madrid. Should be pretty cool. So that's in August. So I remember it's always been, well, I guess we have to bet on the WNBA tonight. That Wednesday after the All-Star Game. Normally brutal. But once again, the NBA saves the day. And I'll tell you what, man, the NBA has done a hell of a job of staying in the news on a daily basis. First off with the finals, right into a crazy, crazy pre-draft situation with all the deals and all the moving and shaking that was going on. The free agency was off the hook. The contracts were off the hook. And now the NBA Summer League is off the hook as well. See, I've been around a long time. And I used to live in Las Vegas even. I've been betting on sports since about 1982 or so. And years ago, the NBA Summer League was going on, but it was an afterthought. It wasn't on TV. Nobody really knew anything about it, and you couldn't bet on it. And I remember when I lived in Vegas, and this is even in like 2012, like they had NBA Summer League lines at certain casinos for a couple of the games, sort of the high-profile games, but it wasn't the full card. Now, pretty much every sports book in the world, offshore, in Vegas, etc., all offer lines for every NBA Summer League game. Now, they've got a couple of summer leagues, all right? But the one in Vegas, like, you know, I think they're playing in, like, Utah or something like that. There's a summer league in Utah. There's a summer league in Orlando. But Vegas, baby, is the place to be. And Las Vegas really has become the basketball hub for the United States. You know, that's where the Olympic teams always practice right now. It's easier to get the guys in the offseason to come and work and practice in Vegas. I've always thought it was crazy, though, that you take your rookies and you drop them in Vegas. But ultimately, I think it's a pretty good test, right? If they can get through, you know, the summer league in Vegas without doing anything stupid, you know, they're probably going to do all right once the regular season has started. So now you can bet on these games. And, man, there's a lot of hype around the summer league over the past couple of days. As Lonzo Ball and the Lakers played the Celtics on Saturday night. All right, never mind the fact Lonzo Ball's debut, he sucked, like I told you he was going to. What was it? He was 2 of 15 from the field, 1 of 11 from three-point land. How did De'Aaron Fox do? He scored 18 points and 17 points. Got 35 points in two games, averaging 17.5 points per game. Lonzo Ball put up 8 points the other night against the Celtics. Tatum went off, but that's besides the point. My point is, tickets sold out in an hour, man. They sold out the Thomas and Mack Center, all right, where the UNLV Rebels play. They sold out the Thomas and Mack Center. Tickets were $30. They sold it out in like an hour. Tickets were selling for $250 on the secondary market. $250 for an NBA Summer League game, man. And it's hopping. I've been to the Summer League before. I was lucky enough. I did a week full of radio shows a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago, whatever it was, when I lived in Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. We broadcasted from the Thomas and Mack Center, man. It's the place to be. You know, a lot of NBA superstar players are hanging out because it's Vegas. Every GM is there. You'll see like Larry Bird walking around and Mark Cuban and stuff. Everybody is there, including every future cast member of the Basketball Wives. Every like basketball groupie and hot ass chick is shaking her ass trying to shake down some rookie that's in the summer league. And it's funny, then you go to the casino and you see all these dudes at the casino playing blackjack at 2 a.m. and, you know, it kind of sucks for them because they can't blend in. Hard to blend in when you're 6'10", right? So you're like, hey, look at there, what team's he on? You know, what time are they playing at? Do we have an advantage? And I tell you what, we have an advantage tonight in the NBA Summer League as it's Lonzo Ball versus De'Aaron Fox. That's right. The L.A. Lakers are taking on the Sacramento Kings this evening in Las Vegas, and it's going to be a big hype game. Of course, they played each other in the NCAA tournament, and De'Aaron Fox dropped 39 on Lonzo Ball. What's he going to drop on him tonight? I like the Sacramento Kings to get it done tonight, and I also like the NBA Summer League. Game time decisions continues.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do Mozzarella Sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up before you. We're going to talk some home run derby with the Tony Sincata. The Tony Sincata. It's been a while since Tony has joined us. He's a busy man. I've been hearing him on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network a lot as of late. You can hear me and Cam weeknights at 8 o'clock Eastern, including tonight. We'll be tracking the derby as it goes on. We'll talk some Major League Baseball futures. We'll get caught up with how Cam did over the weekend. Never a dull hour when we break it down on Red Heat and Rage Radio. We're going to be talking New York Giant football on the program today, too. We're continuing our team-by-team previews at, without a doubt, the most popular video that we've done so far, the Silver and Black, the Raiders. Are the Raiders the most popular team out there? Our Cowboy video is getting a lot of love right now and some hate. It's like Cowboy fans are unhappy that I didn't say they're going to be 14-2. Picked them to win a division. Like I said, NFL fans, you guys are never happy, man. Never, never happy. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. Steve's probably not happy right now. He hates his computer. He hates his internet company. What's going on, Steve?
I'm very happy, man. We're doing it by phone and not Skype.
So you've given up on Skype, right? We've given that's done.
Well, last week it locked up on me last Friday, so we did it by the phone, kind of in the heat of the moment. And then a couple of minutes ago, I was like, let's try Skype. But then Sean was like, hey, phone works. I was like, that's cool with me, man, because everything's running smooth right now and it sounds better. It's probably partly my computer, but hey, I'll blame Skype if I have to.
Yeah, if you're less stressed, yeah, I don't think it's actually Skype's fault. I'll blame your computer or your internet provider, maybe,
right.
But. Technology is a strange thing, yet nevertheless, good to have you, Steve. So we got the home run derby this evening. A lot of hype about this derby tonight. All these big monsters, massive men in the derby with Stanton and Judge. And this Boer dude's freaking massive dude, too, if people don't know about him. The guy on the Miami Marlins. So I'm looking forward to this derby, and I think it's going to be a pretty heavily bet derby as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was looking over the history last night when I was starting to handicap it, and I didn't realize when this started in the 1980s. You know, you and I were talking last week about how we grew up watching the All-Star game in the 80s, doing the punch ballots. And by the way, the thing I forgot to mention was I used to keep score on some of those games.
Ooh.
Back in the day, too. And that's a lot of fun out there. If any youngsters are watching, I highly recommend learning to keep score. It's a pretty fun way to watch an All-Star game.
They put someone on. It was a Blue Jay game the other day, and Dan Shulman was freaking out because he saw one person keeping score in the crowd. He's like, I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, and it really makes a lot of sense because baseball is so slow. It's a great way to do it and to stay active The All-Star game is fun because you have so many substitutions. You've got, like, you have to leave about four spaces below every player in your lineup to sub them in.
Yeah.
But back in the 80s, I didn't realize the Home Run Derby was a team format. I do not remember that. I mean, I didn't have cable TV in the mid-80s, so I guess it wasn't televised is maybe why. But they were talking about guys winning in their home park, and I guess Ryan Sandberg did it at Wrigley as the NL team won 3-1. There were three home runs hitting the one for the entire competition.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I saw as well, and when I was doing some research for this, that this stuff started in 1985.
Yeah.
The Home Run Derby and Dave Parker. So I guess the individualistic one. And to be honest with you, I never would have guessed it was that long ago. I don't remember it then either. Like, if you would have asked me, all right, Marenzi, when did the Home Run All-Star Derby start? I would have been like, I don't know, 96. Like, I would have guessed like 98, 97. Like, I was blown away when I saw they were doing this in 1985. I don't remember it either, and I remember everything.
Yeah, I don't either. I was really surprised as well because I actually liked baseball better in 1985 than I do now. And I definitely probably can name more players on every team than I know all the pitchers, obviously. You know, as a handicapper, you know all the pitchers. And, you know the key offensive guys. But I don't know half of the role players and middle relievers anymore because I don't care. You know, you don't handicap that. And as a baseball card collector 30 years ago, I could name every one of them and their brothers and their hometowns probably. So I'm surprised I didn't know it as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's funny you say that. The other night on my podcast on Sports Rage, it came up. We were talking baseball, and I was talking about how nobody knows anything about the past. And I started rattling off the starting nine. From, like, you know, 76 Reds, boom, you know, Pirates won the championship, Orioles, I was going off, and it was freaking people out. I was like, I thought everyone knew this. Like, how do you not know Dave Concepcion is the shortstop for the Reds?
Right.
You know, or Pete Rose the third, or Tony Perez, or Joe Morgan, or Johnny Bench, or Ken Griffey Sr., or George Foster. They're freaking Hall of Famers.
Well, it's the same thing with me and the Washington Redskins. I can name probably all 53 Redskins in the mid-'80s, early 90s on those Super Bowl teams, the backup linebackers, the backup defense.
But you capped them now, and you could probably only name about 10 of them.
Well, I can name 10 on a good day, maybe. And I'll tell you that the other reason, though, is because of free agency. You know, when we grew up with these teams, the baseball teams had the same players, although baseball ruined it with free agency. They started the whole problem. But the NFL, it didn't really kick in until the 90s and 2000s. You know, guys that are on those Redskins Super Bowl teams, they were on all three Super Bowl teams. And nowadays, these guys are on teams for 2 or 3 years, and they hop off. So that's another reason it's very difficult to stay loyal.
And another thing is, too, especially with college football, Steve, there's so many teams. And when I was younger, I used to be more of a football geek. And, you know, my team's Michigan. I could tell you, oh, he went to this high school. I knew everything about every kid on the team, et cetera. Now I don't give a crap, man. You know, I'm trying to bet on 124 different teams here. You got like 90 kids on each team. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the fast kid. That's that kid. And it's funny because Kyle Turley, my buddy who played for Ditka, he told me that Ditka didn't know anyone's name. he told them before, he said, listen, it's nothing personal, but I just don't have the time for this, all right? And so basically Ditka, coaching the Saints, he's driving around in his golf cart. He's like, hey, 56, come here. Like, he knew no one's name. He just didn't care. And he told him, nothing personal, but I'm not going to know your names, all right?
I bet he knew more names on the Chicago Bulls and they won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Chicago Bears. I bet he knew more names on that team and he won a Super Bowl. So not a coincidence that he probably didn't do as well as the Saints head coach.
From what I understand, he mailed it in New Orleans.
But exactly right, yeah.
That's besides the point. All right, so the Derby tonight. Listen, man, you're rolling the dice with this stuff. You can never load up and bet on this big. We talk about restrictor plate races are tricky.
Right.
Home run derbies are tricky. Like, they are. They're random. Like, you don't really know. We should note, Stanton won last year. Nobody's repeated. It's not often people repeat. Ken Griffey Jr. did it. Cepedis did it in 2013 and 14 when he was on the Oakland Athletics. But I think Stanton has a very good chance of doing it in his home park tonight. He's the co-favorite, plus 170 with Judge.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this one is we got two rookies, and they've been crushing the ball. I mean, one of them leads the entire league in homers right now. But you just got to feel like there has to be some edge having experience in this thing, you know. And obviously you can catch lightning in a bottle, but you have to know how to pace yourself a little bit. And the other thing we have to point out is this is only the third year that we've had the bracketed format with the head-to-head. So, you know, it makes it a little more random in one regard because you can kind of coast through one round and not have to tax yourself as much where it's not a total home run accumulation. So I think the better hitters and the veteran hitters have a little bit more of an edge with this current format that we have now for the third straight year. versus back in 2014 and before, where they would add up the home runs and guys would have a real reason to go out there and crush the ball every at-bat. You know, if you're going second in the head-to-head and you win the thing, you can kind of take your foot off the pedal and rest a little bit. So I think that is an edge that you can have with some veteran guys and some of the better hitters overall.
I agree. Stanton's going to understand the format. A sport with no clock has a clock in this format. You've got 4 minutes. So, you know, some guys can press a little bit. And to prove, like you said, about the matchup part of this, it's an anomaly at times, because sometimes guys will hit like 13 or 18 home runs in the first round, then they'll go cold, right?
Right.
So, you know, it does, you know, your guy can, you're like, oh, there's been times, man, where I'm like, oh, I've got this for sure, man. Dude just hit 21 home runs in the opening round. Like, and then the next round, he hit six. I'm like, son of a bitch. Like, it's random. So just have a little fun with it. I am going to take Stanton tonight to repeat at plus 170.
Yeah, I mean, and the restrictor plate analogy is a good one, because what we always say in those races is you want to take two or three longer shot guys and hope to, you know, get one of them. And normally in the home run derby, you can get, you know, 5-1 on everybody, if not maybe everybody but one guy. Not the case this year. I mean, Stanton's below 2-1 in most books. Aaron Judge is barely at 2-1. And then everyone else is about 7-1 or higher. So, you know, Stanton and Judge are pretty heavy favorites here, and for good reason. I think they probably are the two guys to beat. You know, if you're looking down the list a little further at some of the longer shots, I think you want to try to take some value, and it's hard to say there's value, but you want to take a bigger price, I guess. And, you know, I think Sino at 10-1 might be one that can make the finals, and then you could always hedge back as well. And that's another thing to keep in mind, Gabe. You know, a lot of live in-game betting now at these books.
Yeah.
You take a bigger game price, like a 10-1 guy, it's a lot easier to hedge after the first round. If he makes it through, you can almost hedge at that point on.
That's a great call. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Sano or taking a Cody Bellinger, even a Blackman at 20-1 or a Moustakas at a 20-1. Because, like you said, you got a shot, and there will be in-game betting with this. All right, as far as the All-Star game itself is concerned, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, especially cappers, will say, I don't really bet All-Star games. We were just talking about the Derby. You know, it's kind of an anomaly. You know, the NBA All-Star game, or you bet the over or whatever. But with all that being said, Steve, I mean, the fact of the matter is, the American League beating the National League really is one of the most dominant things in professional sports. And it's been this way for 20 years. There's 16 wins, 3 losses, and 1 tie in the last 20 All-Star games. And what's incredible about this is they're 43-42 all time. The National League is up 43-42, despite the fact that they're 3-16-1 in the last 20, because back in the 70s and into the 80s, the National League used to win all the time. It's amazing how this has continued like this.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the second most domination sports streak we've ever seen, second only to the National League winning 19 out of 20 in the All-Star game right before that. It's incredible. And if you told me, you know, 80-some years ago that you'd have a 43-42 record in something, you would have thought the zigzag would do pretty well. You'd be completely broke right now.
Yeah, look at the algorithm of this, Steve. Hey, yeah, 19 and then 16 and, like, yeah, it looked like a mountain, you know?
It's always been that way. And even before the National League won 19 out of 20 from 63 to 1982, the AL had a streak where they won 12 out of 16 from 1933 to 49. So it has happened from the get-go, all the way back to the 30s. With that said, don't try to buck the streak, I guess. I don't necessarily think the American League has really any kind of, you know, handicapping edge. When you look at this, I don't really see them having an edge. You know, I mean, I do think that they've had some of the better pitchers in recent years, but, you know, Kershaw's the best in the league. We got some great pitchers in the National League now. The National League also, you know, we did the show back in 2010, and we talked about the American League winning, I think it was like, you know, what was it, 10 or 11 out of 12 with the one tie. The National League then won 3 straight from 2010 to 2012, and we all thought that was changing. Now the American League's won 4 in a row since. So who knows? It seems random, but it sure hasn't been based on those results.
Hard not to take a look at the American League and just follow the pattern. You know, like, we'll dig in deeper tomorrow. As far as the total is concerned in the game itself. But American League, National League. National League's a minus 115 favorite. The total is 9. But I'm leading American League just because of the pattern.
Well, I will say this, Gabe, about that total. It's high, at least based on recent results. Every one of the American League's wins the last 4 years have been 9 runs or less. There was a 9 and an 8. The other two were 6-3. The National League's 3 wins before that were 8-6-4. In fact, I'm looking over the results here. The last time there's been more than 9 runs scored was 2005.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm going to dig a little deeper tonight. We'll have something tomorrow in the game.
Yeah, the pitchers have an advantage. They do, because they take it seriously. They're coming in here. They're throwing heat, and you're dealing with a new pitcher every 2 innings.
Yeah, and we haven't had a game that's had more than 9 runs since 2005, so I'm a little surprised by that total, at least off the bat. I need to dig deeper into it, but I was surprised that it was a 9, especially in a National League park.
Yeah.
I assume, do we have the designated hitter, I assume, even though it's an NL park? I mean, having the pitcher hit in an All-Star game is asinine, in my opinion, no matter where the pitcher's hit.
I don't know. You're catching me off guard. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, I guess a pitcher never will hit, so I guess it's not really an issue, but if that's in the rules, how silly is that? You know, I mean, although it gets more players in the game and gets more pitchers in, so it's actually probably a good rule. But
I don't know. Yeah, the pitchers hit. That's a good question. We'll try to find out if you guys can look that up now. All right, let's talk some. Let's take a look at the futures and your power poll. It's something interesting, Steven. I like to see this as a Dodgers fan. You write about this great Major League Baseball power poll with notes about each team. Some great facts out here. Check it out over at covers.com. that Merrill did. So the Dodgers, number one in your power poll, coming off another sweep, 10th sweep of the season. You know, I told people to take the Dodgers when they were plus 1,200 about a month and a half ago. Now they're the favorites of plus 400. But what I like to see is they've always struggled against that left-handed pitching, Steve, but they're 19-9 now. This is a baseball team that, you know, they're shoring up all their weaknesses, aren't they? Like, they're a pretty complete team right now.
Yeah, and last year they were just the dichotomy, you know, ring the magic bell. Dichotomies last year between righties and lefties was extreme. And by the way, guess what team has that this year? It's the Arizona Diamondbacks on the road, especially. They've been really, really bad against left-handers. So it's another NL West team this year. But the Dodgers actually, in some breakdowns like home away, they actually have better numbers against lefties than righties this year overall. So they're a real complete team, and that was their huge Achilles heel last year. Their bullpen's solid. They've got some offense. They've got a rookie in the home run derby. I mean, they're really well-rounded. And then on top of that, they've got the best pitcher in recent history in Kershaw when he's healthy, and he should still stay healthy, I think. They're the team to beat. You know, I've got Astros at second. I'm still not a complete believer in Houston, though, but I think the Dodgers are for real.
You know, I love Dave Roberts and the approach that he brings. I just think the guy's a winner. He's a player's manager. He gets it. It's contagious. Mattingly's a good manager, but he wasn't a perfect fit for the roster. Roberts, and you know, we're talking about a guy that stole second base for the Red Sox that kept that whole thing alive for the greatest comeback ever. He's just got magic about him. I think he's going to win a World Series as a manager. For the record, yeah, there's pitchers don't hit. It's a DH since 2010, Steve. So yeah, pitchers used to hit since 2010. No pitchers hitting in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Nationals, yeah, you're right. People don't pay money for an All-Star game to see a pitcher strike out. So, yeah. Nationals, your third in the power poll. They're 7-1 to win the World Series. Obviously, when we talk about the Nationals, we know about their offensive power. We know their starting pitching's damn good. It's that bullpen, and you're going to have to be able to have a productive bullpen in the postseason. And they remind me, too, they just haven't had a lot of postseason success either, Steve. It's one of these, they got to prove it to us.
Yeah, they got to stop drinking the same water that the Washington Capitals are drinking. There's no question about that. I mean, they're becoming Capitals light, you know, and as far as baseball goes. They blew a series a couple years ago, and with that bullpen, they definitely will not win it all now. However, I still think they're going to make some good trades near the deadline. They're going to get some solid bullpen guys, a good closer, maybe a middle reliever. They've got so much offensive talent. They've got so much minor league talent that there's plenty of stuff they can deal. So I think the Dodgers and the Nationals are the two teams to beat right now. You know, we're going to dig deeper to get to the Cubs. You still feel like they're going to flip that magic switch.
They're 5.5 back, though, Steve.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
They might have to play the wild card. They might have to play a play-in game. And at that point, you know, it's really difficult to advance because it's a one-and-done scenario.
Like Milwaukee, I mean, we kept waiting for it to happen, sort of like Cleveland overtaking Minnesota. We've been waiting for it, been waiting for it. They got it to 1.5, and it was like, all right, here they come. And then, boom, all-star break, 5.5. It's, you know, things are getting tight, and you know, they're going to have to start keeping their eye on Colorado and stuff like that with the wild card. Red Sox are ranked fifth in your power poll. We've got a couple of minutes here. So they're ranked fifth, Steve. Red Sox inconsistent. Before the year started, I said it was going to be the Dodgers and the Red Sox in the World Series. Now, I'm not ready to bail. You know, everything's tough in the playoffs, though. You can throw out the regular season records. Everything's tough, but you know, if you had to say who plays in the World Series right now, who would you say? The Dodgers and the Astros? Dodgers and the Red Sox?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say Indians, but I forgot about the Astros. I just, you know, I don't believe in the Astros, as you can tell.
They scored 19 runs yesterday.
Yeah, if I had to go with someone other than my top two, which should be the players, you know, the teams right now, obviously, I'd go with the Nationals and the Indians would be my other two. I think it'll be Cleveland and either the Dodgers or Nationals. That's my call in the mid-season. We'll see if it's right come, you know, October.
I was hoping for value with the Tribe, but they're only plus 650. So, yeah, the odds makers are with you. They understand. You know, they're going to get in the playoffs. They're going to be tough to deal with. All right, Steve, we've only got a minute or two left. NASCAR. Truex didn't just win the race, he dominated the race. Wins all three stages. It's unbelievable what this guy does on these tracks.
This is the third most dominating thing we've seen in sports since the American League and the All-Star Game and the National League and the All-Star Game is Martin Truex on mile-and-a-half tracks this year.
He swept them.
Incredible.
Yeah, he won all three.
And not only that, Gabe, he won the two stages in another one and then lost the race. I think it was, I forget, he swept the stages at Vegas, I think, and then, of course, this week.
He's always had bad luck, Steve, but now he's got a good car and he seems to have some good luck because he's had so much bad luck over the years. He's a legitimate threat to win it all this year.
Oh, yeah, and the most dominating race I've ever seen in recent history until this week was him at Charlotte last year in the 600 when he led about 392 of the 400 laps or whatever it was. And this guy has now won 13 stages this year. No other team combined has more than 7 stage wins. The whole team combined, he's won 13 as an individual. No other team, like all their drivers, has more than 7. That's how dominant this guy's been. Speaking of dominant, Kyle Larson, second again. He started 40th. That was the best DraftKings play in the history of sports,
by
the way.
That's unbelievable.
And only 54%, and I looked at one contest, 54% had him. That was the biggest no-brainer in the history of DraftKings because he could go nowhere but up, and he had like the second or third best car still.
I said that, too. I got to hear my notes. That's badass. He went from 40th to second. That's unbelievable. Chase Elliott, kid keeps knocking on the door, man. He's third place. He just can't get in. Joe Gibbs Racing. I thought that this was the week. I thought that Kyle was going to get it done. He was in the mix, but Truex is just too good, and then Kyle Busch's engine blew up. But Joe Gibbs Racing, here we are, 18 freaking races, Steve, and Joe Gibbs Racing doesn't have a win. I mean, they're going to start asking Truex, hey, what's going on with you, man? Like, you know, what can you share with us? You know, because Truex is winning. They can't buy a break. They can't win.
Yeah, here's the thing. Matt Kenseth is obviously off a bit, and it's basically came out this past week. They're not going to renew him next year. He's like 45 or 46 years old, so got to be very careful with him now for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He ran fairly well. Kyle Busch led the most laps, I think, actually. He led almost the first 100 laps last week. But now you got Suarez in for Edwards, who was a winner. Now Suarez isn't winning. And Kenseth now basically is a driver without a contract for next year, so I'd be careful with him going forward. I think Kyle Busch will get a win, but it's going to be tight now.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here, unfortunately, but let's be quick here. NBA Summer League, Lakers and the Kings. Last time De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball played, Kentucky beat UCLA. Fox dropped 39. Sacramento's got a nice Summer League roster. Buddy Hield is playing. Labissiere is playing. Frank Mason, Jackson, the kid out of North Carolina. And, of course, De'Aaron Fox. Lakers have Ingram, but Lonzo Ball's getting torched on the defensive end. I like the Kings tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I won't take up much time on that one because I have absolutely no clue.
I've been following this. And another thing is, it's the Warriors and the Cavs tonight, man. It's a rematch. Warriors and the Cavs.
Is there anybody on either roster that was on the championship roster, I wonder? Even the 12th man. That'd be a good question.
Yeah. There's a few dudes. There's a few guys, yeah. All right, Steve.
Good. Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. Steve getting a smartass on the way out there. All right, Tony Cincata joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We told you earlier you can check out me and Cam on Red Heat and Rage Radio weeknights at 8 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're now joined by a man who spent a lot of time on the radio last week. And it was a pleasant surprise, Tony, to hear you on in the evening. I guess Dane Martinez is off for the week, and Tony and Benny were on from 7 to 8. We were coming on after the show. I enjoyed listening to you guys, Tony, and I tried to get in when I heard you guys talking about our horse last week, too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we were fired up. We were actually, we didn't know what they raced at night out there, right? So then we figured it out. We were trying to get the results. So the next night we were there, and Benny had the whole breakdown, like, oh, I got caught in traffic, and we wanted to fire the jockey right away. And we had to get a different jockey out there.
That was our feeling, too, when we were at the track. We were all like, man, a jockey could have, you know, we were like, the driver, don't see the driver in harness, but we were like, man, he could have got more out of him. Like, because our horse had legs at the end, and he came on. We were hoping for a top five. Eight posts was a bad spot in harness racing, obviously. We, you know, Tony, our horse has raced 14 times this summer, and he raced 8 weeks in a row. We were anxious to get on the track. You know, we just bought him. We were anxious to get on the track with him. Hindsight, we probably should have waited a week. We gave him the week off this week, so we're not racing tomorrow. We gave him the week off. It's supposedly the horses. He's frisky. He's happy. He's got a little edge to him. So by the time next Tuesday comes across, we're going to be ready to go. It'll be next Tuesday night. We'll keep you abreast of the situation.
Yeah, I don't get the whole horse thing. He worked 14 weeks in a row, but after like 3-4 years, they just go and stud all the time. So is that what they're resting for?
Well, no, those are the rich horses and stuff. Like, that's the big time. This guy's a lifer. This guy's been racing, like, basically his entire life. He'll be racing until he's, like, 10, 11 years old type of deal. Like, he's bred to race on a weekly basis. He's
like you. Like you.
Exactly. He's a daily. You know, he's a grinder. Conflict Diamond. You know, of course, just our luck, eh, Tony? He finished in the money 7 of the last 8 races. We buy him. First race we own him, he finishes in 8th place.
Oh,
or 6th place. Sorry, 6th.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good. We're ready for the next time, taking it all.
Yeah, no, exactly. We had a bad post, man. But we're back in next Tuesday night. Should be, I don't know what time, what race we're going to be in. I'll find out on Thursday. But we're not racing tomorrow. We'll be racing next Tuesday. But we do have the Home Run Derby tonight. And, Tony, you and I are in the same age group. So, you know, we remember baseball history. I go back. You know, I was at the 1982 All-Star Game, but in doing my research for the Home Run Derby, it blew my mind to see that this is the 32nd Home Run Derby. I don't remember it in 1985. Like, Dave Parker won. Like, was it on TV? I guess it was, like, you know.
Yeah, it was. I was there in 1999 at Fenway Park. You had Ken Griffey, Maguire, Sosa, and they were hitting the ball with a green monster.
I remember that one, but do you remember in the mid-'80s even they were doing this?
I don't remember it, but if I went back and look at the stats, I'll be going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, so you were at Fenway. They were launching him over to Monster.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was on the bleachers. I had weekend tickets for the Red Sox every weekend, so they moved us out in the bleachers for the All-Star weekend.
That's pretty cool. Good place to be. All right, so let's talk about it tonight. We got Stanton. Defending champion. He's plus 170. He hit 61 home runs in the Derby last year playing in his home park. Judge leads the league in home runs with 30. Bellinger, 25 home runs this year. And I read a comparison of Cody Bellinger to his swing, Tony, and I thought it was a great comparison. He really does look like Ken Griffey. Ken Griffey Jr., that is. That sort of, it looks like a golf swing almost. You know what I mean? It's that smooth. He doesn't, like, swing hard. He looks like he's driving a golf ball, Bellinger. And Ken Griffey Jr. really did have that same swing.
I'll tell you what, I like him. If you could take the odds out of the equation, I like him just from a standpoint of a power hitter that going in there to put it up. He's one of the favorites. And then I also don't like first-time players in these events. I'm going to go with Justin Bour at the plus 1,800 in this one. I like him in his hometown to be the guy, other than Giancarlo Stanton, to come and sneak this away. But Bellinger, I would have a couple shots on him. Like, if you had a head-to-head bet, I'm taking Bellinger over Judge tonight.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's just blast through the rest of the guys. Sano, probably the guy the mainstream knows the least, 21 home runs on the season. He's hit 64 home runs in 277 career games. He hits the ball hard. We've got Sanchez. I want your take on this. So, yeah, Logan Morrison, were you for or against Logan Morrison running his mouth? It was a pretty unbaseball thing to do the way they did it, throwing Sanchez under the bus like that. You can say, I'm disappointed I'm not there, but to single out Sanchez and this guy, and, you know, he doesn't deserve to be there. Hey, man, you look at Sanchez in his career, man. The guy's got 33 home runs, Tony, and 433 at-bats. The guy can hit a long ball, all right?
Yeah. Logan Morrison's a tool. He was talking about how they put my wrong picture up. Logan Morrison, if you were good enough, we would know who the hell you were, and we would have put the right picture up there. So shut your mouth, stay off Twitter, and have more than one good season out of 7 years. How about you don't belong in there? They voted you in based on 2 hot months. You're a bum. You're always going to be a bum, and you better be a stand-up comedian when you're done because you suck.
You know what? Poetic justice. Well said. Tony venting some rage. Red Heat and Rage Radio wearing off on Cincata. But yeah, I hope Sanchez just crushes it tonight because of that.
I want him. I would love to see him win there. And then I'd like to go over there and, you know, maybe take a tinkle on Logan Morrison.
And the thing is, too, if you're the Rays, too, you should just shut up. You know, don't poke the bear that are the Yankees. Like, you know what I mean? Like, really? Now, even the Yankees are going to remember that. The teammates are going to remember all that forever. You mentioned Boer. We had Tim Wallach on last week, former Expo third baseman. He's now a bench coach with the Miami Marlins. And I said, what do you think? He goes, listen, Stanton's great. But he goes, I'll tell you guys, don't sleep on Boer. I see him in batting practice every day. He crushes the baseball. He's another massive man. 6'4", 279-pounder.
Yeah, all of a sudden now there's rumors the Yankees are interested in him. Imagine him in Yankee Stadium, how crazy that would be. I like this kid tonight, and not a lot of people talking about him. It's great to see Tim Wallach talking about him. I think it's just tough. Stanton, of course, he's the favorite. To go back and back, I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm going to go with the other guy. I'll go Justin Boer with a hometown crowd. And I don't know how much of a hometown crowd it is. They don't buy a lot of tickets in Miami. All these people will be traveling from all over the country.
I know. All right, so Moustakas and Blackman, is the ball juice this year? I mean, you know, we're not in a steroid era right now, but I think when we look back, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. And I'm looking at Moustakas' numbers here. He's got 25 home runs right now. His career high was 22 before this. There's a lot of guys that are going to break their career all-time records. Tony, why?
Well, let me ask you this question: when we were in a steroid era, right? We never blamed steroids. We said the parks are smaller. The ball's been changed. It's the strike zone. We blame everything else. So are we not in the steroid era? I feel like we're going to be dumb again, right? It's happening, and these guys just got better drugs with better equipment. They're beating the test, and we're going to look stupid.
It's true. No one besides with Thames, of course, we pick on the black guy, right? The big black guy. Hey, you're going to piss in a cup every day. But you're right. All of us. Is the ball juiced? Is the park is smaller? No, the umps to strike the pitchers. You're right. No one says, you know what? I think maybe everyone's juicing again, man. Because how many guys, Tony? Like, really, I was looking at the home run numbers. I'm like, come on, man. This guy's already hit more home runs this year than he's hit in any year before. And every guy is going to break his all-time best. What's going on here?
119 players last year hit 20 home runs or more. It's only going to be about 129 this year, and it would have broken it by like 30 or 40, but so many guys have been on the disabled list this year. Like, that's a record, too. And I want to put two and two together and say, hey, maybe something's going on here.
Yeah, like, look, Charlie Blackman's got 20 home runs, his career high 29 last year. So that's not a huge anomaly, but nevertheless, still a lot higher. All right, we only got a couple of minutes here. These are the head-to-head matchups, okay? So we've got Aaron Judge versus Boer. Judge is a -350 favorite. You know, man, he can just hit pop flies. He doesn't have to swing hard and the ball can launch. But with that being stated, for betting purposes, you almost have to take Boer at +250, man. He's in his home park. He can mash the ball. These things are tricky. You never know how Judge is going to react to a 4-minute clock.
I agree. I think you got a guy that plays in the Yankee Stadium. So, you say, he's not going to be – the pressure can't get to him. The other guy plays in front of 32 people. I'll go with Justin Boer in this one. He's had the experience. This kid Judge is amazing to me. You forget that he's a rookie with every single category he's up there. Still, this is all the greatest players sitting on the field watching you hit. It's got to get to you.
Oh, it does. They get nervous. They do get nervous. We got Bellinger, -163 versus Blackman. Stanton, -350 versus Sanchez. And we got the Kansas City-Minnesota rivalry living with Moustakas and Sano as well.
I like a little Miguel Sano tonight. He wouldn't surprise me if he won that, right? You talked about how every ball he hits is crazy. I think he also could be the first guy to swing and miss three times.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or kill someone in the stands, too. Like, one or the other. Keep your head up, kids. We got to get out of here, Tony. But to me, the stupidest thing is that they let these little 8-year-old kids run around in the outfield out there. Like, I'm amazed. I wouldn't even want to be out there. Like, and then these kids, like, they're playing Pop 500 there. They're all, like, fighting for the balls. I'm amazed that a kid hasn't been decapitated yet.
Now, you just set the stage. Gabe Lawrence, he's going to be all over CNN and Fox News as the guy called a shot before that.
Yeah. Some kid's going to get it. I'm going to go look at this clip today. You're right. Thanks, Tony.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk some New York Giant football when we come back.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our team-by-team National Football League preview. Today, we're talking about the New York Football Giants, an 11-5 football team last year that played in the wild card and, of course, lost in Green Bay. And, of course, that was the game that they all walked around without their shirts on. We're not intimidated by the cold. And then they couldn't catch anything, all right? These guys couldn't catch a sexual disease if they slept with a Kardashian without a condom. They couldn't catch anything. And what happened? They lost. All right. I know this team pretty well. All right. I've watched pretty much every New York Giant game since like 1980. No joke. I'm not even really a Giant fan, but I've watched every game. I've always grown up in their TV markets. All right. So I've seen them for years. And what I notice about this team is they've sort of lost their identity a little bit. We'll get to this in a second. But the Giants are 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 12-1 to win the NFC. They're plus 225 to win their division. Their win total is 8.5, minus 140 to the over, plus 110 to the under. Now, cosmetically, you look at the Giants' offense, and there's a lot to like about it. Ooh, they've got Eli Manning. Oh, they got Odell Beckham. They got Sterling Shepard. Oh, they brought in Brandon Marshall. They drafted a tight end. Ooh. Yeah, all right. You add it all up, and they threw for 242 yards a game last year, 17th in the National Football League. The ground game, non-existent. They rushed for 88 yards a game, 29th in the National Football League. And I talk about losing your identity. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers used to be that smash-mouth, blue-collar organization, right? They like to run the football and then run it down your throat, and that's what they did. The Pittsburgh Steelers sort of merged into this offensive juggernaut. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell runs the football, but they're a pass-happy offense. They spread things out. They've opened things up, but it's worked for them. And, oh, yeah, they also happen to have Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield as well. The New York Giants, you guys are too predictable. You can't run the football, and everybody knows this. And while your wide receivers they look good on paper and they're flashy, and Odell Beckham makes spectacular catches, he's mentally fragile. He's easily rattled. There's too many drops. There's too much inconsistency. Eli Manning, a two-time Super Bowl champion, let's be real. He looks like Andy Dalton a hell of a lot of the time. Except he happened to have won two Super Bowls. He's lucky that he did, and sometimes I wonder how he did. I mean, Eli Manning does the stupidest things for a guy that's been in the league for as long as he has. To me, the big Eli Manning play is, of course, he throws the ball, despite the fact there'll be like three guys on a defensive line that are 1 foot in front of him, and they have their hands up. And he throws the ball into their hands, it gets tipped up, and it gets intercepted, and he always has that like surprise goofball look on his face, like he's shocked that it happened. What happened? Well, you got intercepted, Eli. That's what happened. What do you think was going to happen? Another thing with the Giants, too, they're horrible in the red zone. You know, I think they're like 24th in the red zone last year. And it's been like this forever, man. The Giants moved on. They've cost me so much money over the years. They'll move the ball down the field. They get to the five-yard line. And then Eli Manning starts doing stupid stuff, and they can't run the ball. All right, you got Paul Perkins. I like Paul Perkins as a third-down back. He's a decent back out of UCLA. Why don't you get a star running back, man? I would have even taken a gamble on AP. He would have went there. You know, why don't you get a real legitimate running back, you know, to complement these wide receivers, to take some pressure off of you? Everybody knows you're going to throw the football this year. All right? Everybody knows the Giants are going to throw the football. Can you win like this? I got to be honest, man. When I came into this talking about the New York Giants, I really thought I was going to be higher on them. I was like, man, maybe I should have made the Giants the team to beat instead of the Cowboys in this division. But I'm not buying it. You know, I'm not buying it. As I stated, they only scored 19.4 points per game last year. This offense has to do better. They have to do better. All right, when I said 24th, the red zone offense ranked 22nd. Ooh, my bad. 22nd in the NFL. You know, they only scored touchdowns 51% of the time when they got inside the 20-yard line. Not good enough. Not good enough. I assume they're going to be better this year because they can't really be much worse. Put in contact, Houston scored 18 points a game last year. Like, the Giants' offense was that bad. Despite all the sexiness and the hype around Manning and Odell, you guys, your offense is terrible. And I don't like the running game, and you're going to be too predictable. So I'm not overly sold on this. The defense, damn good. Defense ranked third in the league against the run. They only gave up 88 yards a game on the ground. Secondary gave up 251 yards a game. That's a little deceptive, actually. Their secondary is rock solid. The problem is, I go back to the Giants' identity. When the Giants used to be, you know, Bill Parcells, Giant football, you know, smash-mouth running backs, you get to the quarterback. Even when they beat the Patriots, the Giants historically have always had a good pass rush. Their pass rush has been mediocre over the last couple of years. They had 35 sacks last year. They can do better than that. It was ranked 11th in the league. I like the draft pick of Dalvin Tomlinson, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. But I would have used the first round pick on defense as well. I would have went for somebody to help me defensively. Your offense was fine. You didn't need to add another toy with another tight end and bring in Brandon Marshall. But they got 10 starters back on defense. They only lost Jonathan Hankins to the Colts. Spagnuolo's a great, guy's a great defensive coordinator. Players are going to understand the scheme even more now in the second year. The schedule's not easy. Four of their first seven games are on the road. Five of their first seven opponents had winning records last year. You know, this year, this is something that's interesting. The Giants are playing four games against teams that are coming off their bye this year. That's significant. Normally, the Buffalo Bills get screwed with that, and we always lose. It's a tough spot to be in. They open up at Dallas. Now, they beat Dallas in this spot last year, actually. They beat Dak Prescott in the opener 20-19. The Giants historically have played well in Dallas. That's a winnable football game for them. I don't know if they will, but it's winnable. Then they host the Detroit Lions. Then they're at the Eagles, and they're at Tampa Bay. That's not an easy way to start the season. You know, I mean, they could be 1-3. They might be 2-2. They could be 1-3. Let's say they're 2-2 and give them the benefit of the doubt. After that, it does get a little bit easier. Three of their next four games are at home. Four of their last six games are against NFC East division foes. So that last month and a half of the season is going to be extremely critical for the Big Blue. I came into this preview, you know, thinking I was going to like the Giants some more. But when I analyze this football team, I think they're going to regress from last year. I just don't see the ground game. I see a lot of the same. I think Beckham will make some spectacular catches. But Eli Manning is Eli Manning. Yeah, he won two Super Bowls, but he's very, very inconsistent. You know, you look at the win total, it's 8.5. I wouldn't be shocked if this is an 8-8 football team, actually. But that's a three-game regression. I think, you know, when it's all said and done, gun to the head, I'm going to say this is a 9-7 New York Giant football team. That doesn't win the division. Dallas, to me, is better. And I'm not so sure the Giants are getting into the playoffs this year because there's a lot of other improved teams in the NFC. I wouldn't be shocked if they finished 8-8. I'll say 9-7, but I'm in no hurry to bet over 8.5. Game time decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Time for our plays of the day on what is a pretty light board this evening. But we've got the Home Run Derby. We haven't had a repeat winner since 2013 and 2014 when Jonas Cepeda said did it. I'm calling for a repeat. I think Stanton gets it done at plus 170. NBA Summer League. We have an NBA Finals rematch, man. It's the Warriors and the Cavaliers. Warriors actually have a better summer league roster than the Cavaliers do. And speaking of which, it's Lonzo Ball versus De'Aaron Fox. You know which side of this rivalry I'm on. De'Aaron Fox and the Kings are going to light the Lakers up. Give me the Kings. May the winners be yours.